now entering the Ron and Brian Coronavirus Bunker.
Everybody, and welcome to episode 91 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I am Ron, as always, joined by the man who is hermetically sealed in his bunker deep in the heart of Queens, New York, Brian. Brian, how you holding up?
I'm going to tell you something. It's touch and go here. I'm not sure that you are aware of just how many New York residents regularly travel to deep areas of China and back. I mean, my local animal market has been shuttered for the past 4 days. I have no idea where I can obtain rare animals to be added to my stews. As such, my health has deteriorated. My, I don't feel as lucky as I can. And clearly, I'm not as virile as I used to be due to my inability of eating bat brains.
That is rough. Were you able to get in that emergency shipment of beer before you quarantined yourself in the bunker?
Tavor is they're still outside making their way. Last time I know, I received word, Tavor was in Harrisburg, PA, hanging out with the state representatives, who are, I'm sure you're familiar with,
of course,
and the activities that they like to happen. So I'm imagining my beer will show up probably half of what I ordered.
I hope you get it. I hope they can make it through the jungle that is out there right now.
It would be really good if they could. How are you faring in Philadelphia? Because you know, I know that one of the first things that they go after are the cheesesteaks.
I mean, you know, first they came for the cheesesteaks, then they came for the roast pork with broccoli Rob. It's getting ugly. The Philadelphia is looking, well, to be perfectly honest, Philadelphia in an apocalypse doesn't look much different than Philadelphia in a regular day, but we're hanging in there. We're hanging in, and we at least have some beers to drink.
Now, here's my question to you:
sure.
Is that if coronavirus arrives in Philadelphia, how long will it take for Gritty, the Philadelphia Flyers' lovable mascot, how long will it take for Gritty to show up and kick coronavirus's ass and send it right back to Pittsburgh?
I mean, I think every hope we have hinges on Gritty and the microbacteria that is probably adhering to the outside of that mascot uniform by this point.
Do you believe that Gritty was practicing on that 13-year-old boy last week when he punched him in the back of the head? Gritty was practicing on how he was going to defend the city against coronavirus?
Listen, he's not the hero we deserve, but he's the hero we need right now.
All right, there you go.
All right. Well, proud to say, speaking of beers, we have a new sponsor this week. I know some of these sponsorships have been kind of touch or go. We had the Papa John sponsorship, which Papa John's the pizza chain was upset with. The Trump 2020 sponsorship, which we cut off when the check didn't clear. Still haven't gotten paid on that. But we have a brand here that's gotten kind of a bum rap in these last couple of weeks, and I think is trying to clean up their image and get it out anywhere. But we're proud to partner with them. So let's roll right on into Drink of the Week.
Drink of the Week.
This is your friends at Corona reminding you that Corona the beer has nothing to do with coronavirus. Don't be stupid like the gringos that host this podcast. Drink up, Corona.
Drink of the Week. Drink of the Week. Drink of the week.
So I don't know, that wasn't necessarily polite towards us, but they're check cash. So we are proud to welcome Corona as the sponsor of Drink of the Week. Ironically enough, though, we will not be drinking Corona this week. Brian, thoughts on the new sponsor?
I'm not sure that I like the verbal assault.
Okay.
I don't feel that as hosts of the Ron and Brian podcast, we should be made to be the butt of a joke, to be the point of an insult. It's. I don't know that that is the kind of advertisers that we want to accept.
I will definitely take that back to them and see what they say.
And speaking of which, in terms of taking the advertisers, I did pick up on the fact that you said the Trump campaign's money did not clear, correct?
Correct, yes.
But you did say that Corona Beer's money went through, right?
We have collected all the pesos.
Now, my question to you is this. Why have I not received one penny of it?
You know, there's some, I handle the taxes for you. I just need to get that 1099 from you, which you've been neglectful for. But trust me, your money is in escrow. I think that's what you do. You put it in escrow. And it's available for you when all of the I's have been dotted and T's have been crossed.
So if I get this 1099 form back to you, the money will be released?
I mean, I will forward it along to the Ron and Brian accountant, and certainly we can get those wheels in motion.
I'm not feeling very comfortable right now. I feel like you're holding on to some money of ours.
I'm just saying. But you should be awash in money. You had that little kickback deal with the Ivanka Trump polling machines, which we use for this week's Drink of the Week poll. We have two choices from Ex Novo Brewing Company. We have that out in Portland, Oregon, and also brewed in Corrales, New Mexico. A little multi-state effort. So we have their Cactus Wins the Lottery, which is a Berliner Weiss Sour Ale with prickly pear, and then Mary and Berries, which is a ghost style ale with Mary and Berry and raspberry. I think, you know, Mary and Berry eked it out, it appears, with a one vote victory. But the challenge, I don't know if you noticed, Brian, using your new technology, is the photos did not match the names of the beers on the Facebook poll. So, you know, we're already really getting off on the wrong foot with this new company. And I've heard some of the votes were not tallied. People hit one button, it registered on the other. So I feel to be perfectly transparent, I think we need to scrap the results of the poll and just drink both of these beers during the podcast tonight. Are you willing to make that sacrifice for integrity? For the fans.
See, this is the problem I have right now, is that if we scrap the vote, I don't collect any money from Ivanka Trump's polling company. See, part of the condition for those payments are not only the votes to be certified by our ballot accounting firm, but also the fact that we have to discuss, I believe, you know, I mentioned this to you, you seemed okay with it at the time, but I mentioned that we do have to talk about how successful Ivanka Trump's polling company's products were. So if we are to scrap the results of this week's Drink of the Week, I don't see that check.
Well, you'll just have to deal with that, Brian. And I know one thing about you, my friend.
I liked beer.
You like beer.
I do like beer. So what are we starting off with?
Which one? I will. Well, since it was your screw up with going with Ivanka, which one would you like to start with?
I think I'd like to start off with Mary and Barry.
Mary and Barry's a little playful take on former mayor of Washington, D.C. It's got a nice little scent to it. That's good.
Oh, that is very good.
It's a little tart, but it's very refreshing.
Daddy-like.
Not too sweet, which is what I was worried about with the two berries in there. I could drink this. Only a 4.6 alcohol, so a good beer to have if you're having more than one and doing a podcast, which we are. And the other one, let's get this going here. Cactus Wins the Lottery. This was the sour ale with prickly pear. All right. A little messy here. Don't need to short out the computer, but let's see.
Yeah, mine exploded as well.
It's not bad. It's very subtle. Again, I was worried that the flavors might be too sour, might overpower you, but I'm giving both these a thumb up. Which of the two do you think you prefer?
I do prefer the Marion Berries.
I'm going to go with you on that.
I like the sour taste to it, and I guess it's the berry flavor. I was going to call it fruit flavor, but clearly we're going to go with the berry. It really is just a delicious beer. This is the kind of beer, like you said, if you're going to have more than one, I could easily see myself putting down 9, 10, 11 of these.
Well, maybe we'll have to order a case straight from Ex Novo and have it sent to your bunker.
Ooh, do you think that they could break through the protection?
I mean right maybe now, they can send it down through the hermetically sealed vents that you have around the bunker.
That would be great, because right now I am wearing 4 masks covering my mouth and nose.
And you feel it's helping?
I'm still breathing. I'm still alive. I have not shown any of the symptoms of the coronavirus, which we all know are the sudden uncontrollable urge to go to Tavor.com, download the app to your iPhone or Android phone, and sign up using Tavor code 525401 in the promos page of the app, which I believe is the first sign that you have the coronavirus.
It is, but you just need to go with it, because it's the first step down the path to getting well again.
And I want to get well. I really do.
That's the one thing we've been hoping for, is that someday soon you'll be well.
It's really the mental thing that's concerning me more than anything else.
All right. Well, let's move on now. While we drink, we can talk about This Week in Racism.
This week in
Racism.
So, Brian, as you know, there's been a bit of a dearth of audio or video recorded racism so True. Far this year. We have Patricia Zammit, who won the first couple of matches we had. We've kind of put her off to the side waiting for a contender. And we didn't really have any great audio this week, but I want to throw a story out at you and see if you feel that we can do a poll with this one. I will remind you of, I believe it was Ethan, I forget his last name, but he made the Racist of the Year tournament last year without any audio. Ethan Hunt. Okay. And then almost knocked off Days in Dave in that first round. If you remember, it went to overtime. So indulge me here a moment. So we are going to go out to Indiana, Ball State University, where Professor Shaheen Borna called the cops on one of his students, Sultan Benson, because Benson refused to switch seats midway through class. Apparently what happened is apparently Benson arrived to class. The seat he typically sits in was taken up by another student. So Professor Borna told him to sit in the back of the class, which he did.
Oh.
He gets set up. He's on his laptop. He's following the course and everything else. And apparently this midway through the lecture, the student who was in the front row left class. So the professor tells Benson, hey, do you want to move your seat down to the front? And Benson was like, well, no, I'm all settled in here. You just teach your class. And the professor kept pushing it, but wouldn't say why, and then stepped out of the room and had the police called on the student.
What was the reason that the teacher gave for calling the police?
That the student would not change seats. Literally was the statement.
But this, let me just, and because I do want to give an honest evaluation of the value of this week's racist. So the kid is sitting in the front of the room in somebody else's seat.
Sitting in the back of the room because the seat in the front of the room was taken by another student. Sitting where in the back of the room where the professor told him to go sit at the beginning of the class.
That's what I was getting at. So the teacher told him to sit in the back.
Correct.
And he goes to sit in the back.
And then he sits in the back for about half of the class.
And a seat opens up in the front.
Right.
And the teacher says, move down here. He says, no. And the teacher calls the cops.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to say that's pretty fucking racist.
All right. Are racist enough to put up a vote?
I believe so.
All right. Fantastic. Well, then we will do that.
The way I see it, this is, Ron, let the public vote on whether this is warranted or not. You know, to me, clearly this is a an act of racism. First, sending a African American person to the back of the classroom. You know, it feels like Birmingham, 1956. Rosa Parks bravely not giving up her seat. Then sitting there saying, "Hey, come on up front." Oh, you're not going to? let's call the cops. Yes, that sounds like some Indiana racism to me. Now the question is, does it warrant votes? And there's only way to do that, and that's to take this to the Racist of the Week poll.
There you go. And justice has to be done somehow, because Ball State University has pretty much been dragging their feet and doing anything about it. There was actually a walkout yesterday. A few hundred students walked out in protest of the professor's actions and what they feel was a weak response by the university. In addition to the student walkout, over 100 faculty members have signed a letter condemning Borna's actions. Borna could not be reached by comment. He's been told by the university not to say anything. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out at Ball State University. But in the meantime, go to our Facebook page or our Twitter page and vote for This Week in Racism. We'll have Professor Borna going up against two-time defending champion Patricia Zammit. Should be an interesting matchup. Brian, I know this is going to be a tough one because I know you really like your audio contestants. Who do you like in this matchup?
I don't know that this white professor has enough to win a Racist of the Week poll.
Would it sway you if I told you that the professor was Iranian?
Oh, that pig. You know, this guy is fomenting anti-American philosophies on an American campus. This man... I'm assuming it's a man. Is that correct?
Shaheen? You are correct.
Okay. Shaheen Borna, if I'm not correct, was a at the age of six, was part of the 1979 student uprising. He was in school at the time, albeit elementary school. Part of the student uprising that took place in Tehran and led by the Ayatollah Khomeini, who then decided that, hey, let's take some Americans hostage. If I'm not correct, Shaheen Borna was the youngest hostage taker during that whole ordeal. That really was one of the darkest moments of this country's history. I'm very shocked that ICE would allow Shaheen Borna back into this country.
It doesn't mention any of that history of his in this particular article, but, you know, I'm willing to believe you.
Do you think this was the Shaheen Borna, not the student upriser in Tehran, but do you believe this is Shaheen Borna, the leader of ISIS?
Again, not really mentioned in the article. Could be the Shaheen Borna from Arab Spring, but I'm not 100% sure either. But
so
again,
many Shaheen Bornas. So many. Can we start the hashtag Shaheen Borna?
We will try and get that trending on our Twitter page. But again, folks, go to the Twitter, go to Facebook, vote on This Week in Racism.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
Brian, what's bothering you this week, sir?
I gotta say, and this is New York City's homeless people, specifically
really?
The old lady that was on my train.
What was the problem with her?
Well, she started off sympathetic and then started to curse out everybody on the car, specifically looking at me as she was walking off. She looked at me and said, "You're all cheap fucks."
I mean, she kind of begged you.
Okay, so the story is that I'm on the subway coming into the city. I've got my headphones on, reading a book. Now, you may ask me what book I'm reading. I will not tell you because they have not sponsored this podcast, so there's no such thing as free advertising.
Important question to ask, though, real quick. Headphones are on. Anything playing in the headphones, or are the headphones on just so people don't try and talk to you?
Headphones are on, music playing. Music got turned off. When I saw this woman get on and start talking.
Okay.
Because I do, you can call me an asshole on this one, but I do like to listen to the presentations that various panhandlers give. I do enjoy a good, I'm raising money for my high school basketball team, sometimes said by men clearly in their 30s. I'm a big fan of the kids that are selling candy. Usually, okay. Welch's fruit snacks. You see a lot of that in the subways. But then you also get your veterans. I was in this war, that war. Somebody said they were in the war against racism, but I did not believe them, that one. But you see people in, you know, anyway, so there's...
I get it.
As the number of panhandlers in the subway system has really increased during Mayor de Blasio's tenure. He seems to not be interested in it. So this woman gets on. I would peg her for mid to late 60s. She was carrying two large bags, but did not, but wasn't dressed as a homeless person would. She looks like they were relatively clean clothes, looked like she had showered recently, didn't smell. And the story that she gave is that she's living in a shelter, but she, you know, has saved up some extra food. So if anybody is hungry on the train, she'd be happy to share it with them. Then she turns into the sob story of her husband, who had some type of illness. I couldn't really pick up what type it was. Maybe she didn't say. Had some type of illness, and they didn't have any medical coverage. So, you know, both of them had worked their entire lives, but now they're both homeless. He may have died. I kind of lost interest at one point. But she kept going. And I'm going to say this woman was in that subway car for at least 10 minutes talking. And I started to give her credit because to me, this was just, you know, she was showing a lot of dedication to this car, this group of strangers that all were coexisting within this closed space as we were all traveling through time. So at one point, and what set her off was somebody was walking past her, bumped into her, but did not stop to say, "I'm sorry."
Well, that's just impolite.
Well, she took offense to this because now she started like waving her hand. That's when my music got, you know, went from a lowered phase. That's when I hit pause.
Okay.
Now she's just cursing how people have no manners. Nobody cares anymore. We're really sad. You know, then nobody's acknowledging her. Everyone's just, you know, either looking down, closing their eyes, staring at their phone. So finally, she just starts talking about how it's really disgusting what we've turned to. We're so uncaring. You know, back, you know, when she was working every day, she cared about other. And now I'm just sitting, I'm like, lady, if you thought you were going to get a penny earlier, you're just insured you're not getting. So as she was walking out of the subway cars, we pulled into, I believe it was Queens Plaza. She just looked at me because I was standing right by the door. And she just said, "You're all cheap bastards." Then she looked at me and she was like, "You cheap bastard." Mm. And I really wanted to say at one point, "Lady, if I give you $20, will you shut the fuck up?"
And you know why? If you ever do that, please make sure you are recording it.
I will. And you know why I did not say that?
Because you're a gentleman?
No, because I didn't want to lose $20. I genuinely sat there and I'm like, it would feel really good to say that, but I don't want to give up. I don't want to give up $20.
Is it worth the 20? I got you. Well, my beef this week. So as I think some of you may have heard, former LA Laker Kobe Bryant died in a helicopter crash this week. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But what bugs me, and it's not just in this instance, but I think it is in any instance when someone of any level of celebrity passes away and there's a lot of people talking about it, there has to be that group of people that are like, well, what about the veterans that died today? What about the other people in the helicopter? What about people that die every single day without any, you know, they have to play the martyr for the people that, you know, they feel aren't getting their just due. And at the end of the day, like, there are, I don't want to say that there are people that are worth more than other people, but there are definitely people that mean more to the public as a whole. And clearly we've seen the outpouring of support for Kobe and his family, you know, the people coming to the Staples Center, the multiple tributes, you know, and again, I don't know, it doesn't take away from the deaths of the other people, but I don't know why people have to, like, just automatically go there and be like, well, why are we talking so much about Kobe? Well, you know what? He brought a lot of joy to a lot of people's lives. He made a lot of money for a lot of people. I mean, I can't imagine, you know, in the salad days of, you know, the Lakers when they sucked after Magic retired and then Kobe made them good again. And I'm sure all the people working in restaurants, bars, shops around the Staples Center probably made out pretty good during Kobe's run there. In addition to the team doing well, you know.
What about that 19-year-old girl in Colorado?
I mean, there is that, and again, you know, that's going to be that that what if, you know, obviously she never testified against him. There was a payout in a civil case that she brought against him. You know, who's to say? I mean, next thing, I mean, if we have to use that as the barometer, next thing you're going to say that maybe Michael Jackson was guilty.
Oh, Ron.
Sorry.
You really took it to a dark place. I mean, that kid, that I call him a kid, but you can't really call Michael Jackson a kid. I mean, that grown man liked little kids to spread their buttholes apart. Allegedly, according to the documentary.
There's been a petition circulated online to change the NBA logo and to change the silhouette of the person in the NBA logo, which is, Brian, pop quiz.
Oh,
come on, you know this.
Jerry Reed.
Dr. Jerry West? Close. In the ballpark.
Really? Okay, I thought I was close.
You were. Now,
I thought I was nowhere near. I will say this, Ewan, I think you actually just nailed on something really important, which is the fact that...
Well, I didn't even finish my statement, so... I was just quizzing you for a second. I'll let you go back.
Are you sure these beers aren't high volume? Because they're hitting me like a 10.2.
All I'm saying is you're paying as close attention to the podcast while we're recorded as usual. So people have put a petition up asking to replace the silhouette of Dr. Jerry West in the NBA logo with the silhouette of Kobe. And I think that will never happen because of the fact that he was once charged with sexual assault. I don't think the NBA wants to open up that kind of can of worms. But go on with what you were saying.
What I was going to say was, and actually I'm glad that I let you continue talking, because I think you did not touch upon this.
All right.
But one of the things that I feel that's going on in today's country, our culture today, is that we've gone to extremes. We've lost perspective. Kobe Bryant was a great basketball player, one of the best of all times. There was a period in his life where maybe his behavior was not exemplary. I believe that he was an example of somebody who was able to turn their life into a better direction and be a better example for the next generation of people. I believe he's shown that it's possible that you can't let one incident mar your entire life. I believe we've lost perspective of looking at someone and saying they're part good, they're part bad. Where Kobe Bryant, this basketball player, dies tragically. And you either have one extreme of people who are saying, this isn't newsworthy, plenty of other people died that day, why don't they get any type of attention? And the second group you have, which is on the far other extreme, is let's change everything about this country and now make it all Kobe worshiping.
It's a little heavy-handed in both directions.
It is. One of the things I was going to comment on is the fact that this took place on, what was it, Sunday morning, California time?
Yes.
Okay. So Tuesday morning, literally on the local ABC affiliate, 6 o'clock a.m. news, they did the first 10 minutes on Kobe. And it wasn't even news about what happened to him, but they're doing stories of celebrity and athlete tweets and public statements about Kobe. How is Shaquille O'Neal's Twitter profile or whatever I'll take it down a notch, but like, how is Shaquille O'Neal's tweet about Kobe Bryant newsworthy?
Well, and they like with most news cycles, they needed to continue the story going without any actual new information to provide.
You know, there was an article in the Post, the New York Post, which I thought was pretty interesting, where they kind of mapped out a timeline of the helicopter's not only path, but also some of the issues that it was having.
Is that with the map labeled Path yes. of Doom?
Slightly sensationalistic, but that's the New York Post for you. I felt that article was interesting.
In what way?
I thought, because, and you can actually say it wasn't the article, Brian, it was the graphic, but it says, okay, the path, you know, the train starts, Oh, the you can just call me out right now for being dumb right now, and I deserve it.
The helicopter,
thank you, Ron, takes off at 9:06, and it literally says, you know, it shows the path of it and where it was at different junctures of the geographical area that it covered. You know, that it was flying in circles over Burbank for an extended period of time. The fact that the weather took a very drastic turn in terms of a dense fog that was north of Los Angeles, whereas when the helicopter took off south of Los Angeles, there was no fog at the time. That was interesting to me. That actually was, you know, news and informative. Some basketball player sitting there saying that he's going to change his jersey from 33 to 8 in honor of Kobe is not necessarily the third most important story that's going on in the world.
But maybe it is to some people, Brian. But I'm
and who gets to decide that?
I guess, you know, it's up to the individual channels. And I know every single morning that I go into the employee cafeteria, and, you know, the ESPN is usually on. And it's nothing new. It's just, you know, somebody else telling the story about how this has impacted them.
I actually can understand ESPN spending more time on this.
Right. But yeah, your local news, CNN, you know, those kind of channels, it's gotten to be a bit of overkill.
There's an impeachment hearing going on in Congress right now, but somehow Pat Riley's comments about what Kobe brought to the game is they'll spend 3 minutes at the top of the hour on.
Well, it's Brian, just, the impeachment is a hoax and a witch hunt. I mean, this is something actual that happened.
Well, okay. Well, then I might all say maybe Kobe isn't dead.
I think I told you what somebody in my cafeteria at work said, where they were like, look at this. This is what the government will do to make sure we don't pay attention to what's really happening. And I so wanted to get some more deeper insight on that.
Yeah.
Be like, really? So the government killed Kobe Bryant to take our attention away from what exactly? But I did not ask the question. Now I wish I had.
See, I decided that the coronavirus is nowhere near as dangerous of a health hazard as the liberal media is making it. And what they're trying to do is hype up the danger of the coronavirus, scare the public so that the stock market is affected, and which lowers the chances of Donald Trump being reelected.
Interesting. Well, maybe you've got something there. Well, we'll get back into the Kobe story in a little bit. But more importantly, it is Kobe. Super Bowl week. We have Super Bowl, what is it, LIV coming up this weekend?
I believe, what is that, 49?
58, 54, 56, somewhere in the 50s.
Hike.
I think it's 54. Let's go with 54. I think I Ron, remember my Roman numerals.
When are we going down to Miami to watch the game?
I chartered a helicopter, so I just need to know if you still have a comfort level in that. And then we'll head down probably Sunday morning. You know, we'll get a nice little brunch before the game.
Okay.
Why not?
Will there be bottomless mimosas?
There has to be. There is. It's not brunch without endless bubbles, as I like to call them.
Otherwise, it's just called breakfast.
That's right. Well, we have some wagering to do because we do like to make our bets, don't we, my friend?
Yes, we do. Who do you like in the game first?
So right now, the point spread is Kansas City is favored by 1.5. I've really been going back and forth over the last couple of weeks. But now that you're putting me on the spot, if I have to make a decision, I am taking the Chiefs, giving 1.5.
I would do the exact same thing.
Like, I feel from a big game perspective, I think, you know, Patrick Mahomes is going to handle the pressure a little bit better than Jimmy Garoppolo will on the Niners.
The thing that I have seen throughout this playoffs is Patrick Mahomes showing that he will not get frazzled being behind the score.
No.
You know, and it's one of the things that you see a lot of is teams jumping out to an early lead and, you know, the opposing team not being able to put together a comeback. I believe the Chiefs have come, you know, they played two games this postseason. They have won both of them despite being down what I would consider significant totals. So that to me kind of says that they are a team of grit, courage, strength. They will not rattle easily. Whereas I think the Niners have not really struggled much. So I'm not sure that they are going to be as prepared to go up against a team of Kansas City's caliber.
Yeah, I mean, the Niners, I don't know if they've ever been in a position of having to come back. But to your point, I mean, they were Kansas City was down to Houston like 24-0, came back and went ahead before the end of the first half, and then was also down, I want to say, by 17 to the Titans. So I don't think there is any point in a game that Patrick Mahomes feels that he can't bring his team back to win. So
right.
I like that. Now, here's an interesting one. Over or under is at 54.5.
I'm going to go under.
I you know, this is one that it's tough to say, like, because both teams have really great defenses, but I got to go with the over on this one.
Really?
Okay. I think, you know, I mean, Kansas City could put up, you know, 30 or 40 points on its own. I think it'll be a high scoring game. I've gone back and forth on it.
Really?
You know, I just don't know what to do sometimes, Brian. But I'm going over.
Do you feel confident with that?
I don't feel confident, but I feel 60-40 about the over.
Okay.
All right. So next up, who do you think will end up being the MVP of the game?
Patrick Mahomes.
Really? You're going with Mahomes?
I believe that, absolutely.
Okay.
I believe that there will be enough running, there will be enough passing to different receivers that when thought at the end of the game, who is the one player that really made the difference? I'm going Mahomes.
All right.
What about you?
I'm going to take a bit of a flyer. I'm going to go here with Kansas City tight end Travis Kelce, who has caught, I think, a large number of the postseason touchdowns. I think he's going to have a huge game. I think Kelce takes it.
Now, let's see, you know, without looking down at a piece of paper, how do you spell Kelce?
That is K-E-L-C-E. Because don't forget, his brother Jason plays for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And is the one that gave the great profanity-filled rant on the steps of the Art Museum after they won the Super Bowl a couple of years back.
That's his brother?
The dude that wore the Mummers costume?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's his brother.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
All right. Coin toss. Heads or tails?
Tails.
All right. I'm going heads just to be different than you. You really can bet on anything. This is one I like, and maybe it makes me a bad person. Will a player from either team end up getting arrested at some point in Miami after the game?
No.
I'm going to go yes. I'm going to take a flyer on that one also.
You really think yes?
I mean, it's happened before.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, but it's Miami, and I think they're a little bit more, how do I say this, understanding of celebrity culture. I think it's very possible that somebody has police interactions, but something that leads to an arrest, I think I don't see that happening. I believe Miami is going to be trying to focus on what a fun place it is to party. Miami really is the new Las Vegas, minus the gambling.
Okay.
And a lot more Cubans. I mean, a lot more.
All right. I'll throw this one at you. So Demi Lovato singing the national anthem. The over-under of the length of how long it'll take her to sing it, 122.5 seconds.
122.5 seconds.
So basically 2 minutes, 2.5 seconds.
I got to go under.
You're going under? I'm going over. Yeah. Everyone always seems to run long on that.
Really?
Yeah. I think who was it last year that did it? I forget who did it, but they came in like about 2 minutes, 10 seconds.
It was Whitney Houston.
last year. That was interesting.
Yeah, it was one of those moments where it really captured the national collective and got us all on the same page.
All right.
It was one of the most stirring renditions of America the Beautiful I have ever heard.
All right, I will go with you on that. All right, so tying into the national anthem, will there be a scoring drive that will take less time than the national anthem?
Whoa. Is there going to be a scoring drive?
Correct.
That is going to be shorter than the national anthem?
Shorter than the amount of time it takes to sing the national anthem.
I'm going to say no.
See, I'm going to go yes.
Now I think you're just being contrarian.
You've got 2-minute offenses. Let's see, someone gets the ball back with like a minute 50, and it can be a field goal. It can be a scoring drive if they kick it. I'm going yes with that.
But it's the whole drive.
It's the entire drive, right?
So even like an interception return, that counts as a drive, correct?
No, I wouldn't count that as a drive. I think the team needs to get the ball and actually put some plays together.
Okay.
So I'm going yes on that. This one, it's a bet, but I don't even think it's one that you would take. Will real Donald Trump tweet during the game from kickoff to final whistle? Yes or no?
Will he tweet at all during the game?
Correct.
Will it be something specific about the game, or will it be something against coronavirus?
Just a tweet. Maybe it's about Shifty Schiff, Sleepy Joe, Nervous Nancy, oh, Little Mike.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's just a given he's going to tweet.
Yeah, there's no way he's not going to.
And what's shocking to me is no is just even money. Like, you should be able to win so much money if the president is able to refrain from tweeting for 3 hours.
Yeah, that would be incredible. There's no way he's going to. The real question is whether he watches the game. We'll never be able to know. But, I mean, he did show up to the college championship game, and he showed up to, I believe it was the NFC championship game in New Orleans.
And he was at the Army-Navy game in Philadelphia.
And he was at the Armenian genocide that took place, I believe it was the 1930s, with the Turks.
All right. So
not the Caicos. There was no Caicos involved in the Armenian genocide.
Here is an interesting one for you. So we've both picked who we feel our MVP is going to be.
Right.
Who, in their speech when receiving the MVP award, who will the MVP thank first? So here are your choices. Teammates, God, the fans/city, his family, the coaches/owner, or none of the above. Who do they thank first?
I'm going to say fans and the city.
You're going fans and city. I am going God.
You think they're going to be like, thank you so much for this. I want to thank God.
I think thank you. All praise to God. Nothing happens without him up above. And then now goes into the rest.
What if they? It's another religious entity that is a God-like, but it's not your standard Christian God?
Like, I would accept Vishnu. And says, I would accept Muhammad.
Buddha?
I would accept Buddha. Yes, I would. I would accept
Dalai Lama.
No, Dalai Lama, I don't consider a god. He's a vessel. That's what I would consider him.
What if somebody gets up there and says Jeffrey Epstein?
Listen, the line on that would be through the roof.
I would put money on it.
All right,
just so I could have a Vegas ticket that had did Jeffrey Epstein kill himself?
All right,
we all know the answer is no.
Other important questions, Brian.
Keep going.
The color of the Gatorade that gets dumped on the head coach of the winning team. So your choice
blue.
Is
I'm going blue.
You're going blue without even asking.
I'm going blue.
I am going I'm going red.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you why.
Oh, yeah.
What are the colors of both teams? What's the predominant color of both teams?
White.
Wrong. Red.
Yes, but are they going to be wanting to drink their colors?
I'm just saying. I think it would be apropos.
Okay.
Let's see. What else do we have here? Oh, so of course, performing at halftime, Jennifer Lopez and Shakira and they're taking bets on first song performed, last song performed. I'm not going to go through.
I'm going to take a pass. I'm taking a pass. I don't know any of their songs.
Yeah, I'm not even sure how you would guess that. And there's never a good guess.
I will say that I think the halftime show is going to be god-awful.
Well, you can bet that each and every year, and you'd be right.
I think the last halftime show I enjoyed was Springsteen.
You didn't like Justin Timberlake?
No, it was terrible. It feels like the NFL has tried to attract a female audience for the halftime show.
Okay.
And I hope that that's not considered an unwoke statement, but it feels like their halftime show for years were rock bands, things like that. And then suddenly it became pop music, top 40 women. Like we've had Katy Perry, we've had Lady Gaga, we've had, now we're going to have Jennifer Lopez, we're going to have the Dancing Shark. You know, it seems like over the past 10 years, the halftime show has definitely taken a swing towards the type of entertainer that I'm not sure is the target NFL audience.
So you're saying that that's your feeling on it. Okay, well, that's fine if that's how you want to be.
I like the way you just utterly dismiss my comments. You're like, oh, so that's what you're going to say. All right, well, okay. So moving on.
All right, let's see. Let me find some other ones here for you. Here's one that's been getting a lot of action as far as the halftime show. Will Alex Rodriguez be shown during the halftime show?
No.
No?
He may be shown during halftime, but not during the performance.
All right, interesting.
Like I could see them showing him during the time period after the last play of the first half and prior to the lights going down for the halftime show. But once the halftime show starts, I do not believe you will see him.
Okay, fair enough.
What do you think?
I'm going yes on that one.
Really? Now, how do you visualize that happening?
I just think, you know, there'll be like a little break in the performance and they'll, you know, in between songs, and they'll just cut away to him, you know, sitting in like one of the owner's boxes, you know, clapping for J-Lo.
See, I think Alex Rodriguez will be too busy looking on his iPad, watching a baseball video from the year before. So he will be able to properly analyze on Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN. Why Garrett Cole's curveball is one of the most dangerous pitches in all of baseball.
All right. Here's an interesting proposition someone made, is if you want to get paid off going to the Super Bowl, because there is actually a bet you can make if a fan will run onto the field during the game. So if you were to wager $5,000 that a fan is going to run on the field, then buy yourself a ticket to the game and run onto the field yourself, you would collect $37,500.
So you put up $5 and you get...
You put up $5,000.
And you get $37 back.
And you get $37,500 back, minus the cost of your Super Bowl ticket and all that. But you could probably still clear a good $15,000-$20,000.
So you're talking about, what is that, seven to one odds?
Yeah, roughly.
That seems rather low.
Prop bets are, you know, they're not going to go too crazy in case someone hits them. All right, let's do one more here. Floyd Mayweather, will he wager more or less than $1 million on the game?
He will wager more.
Yeah, I'm going over on that one. And let's do, all right, we'll do one actual football-related bet. Who scores the first touchdown in the game?
I'm going to say that the 49ers do.
Which player scores the first touchdown? I know.
And we're doing that for different reasons because I don't know any of the... I know Patrick Mahomes, and I'm not really that familiar with some of the other players. The first touchdown, you say?
The first touchdown. Who is going to score it? I, again, am going to go with Travis Kelce. I mean, do you want me to throw you some of the people from the Niners if you think they're going to score first?
I would like to say that it is going to be the 49ers' main running back.
The main running back, and that is?
Oh, I don't know. I'm asking you to tell me who it is.
Isn't that, I think it's, I don't know. I'm going to have to look
is
it
that
up.
Is that Raheem Mosteri?
It could be. We're just
or
showing you how
that
little we know.
George Kitty? Is that Debo Samuel?
I know it's
or
not George Kittle. George Kittle's the tight end.
All right, so I'm going to go Raheem Mosteri.
All right.
Am I not reading that right, or is it Mostert?
It's Mostert or Mostert.
Okay, so I'm going Raheem Mostert.
All right. Well, anyway, so that's Super Bowl. So, yeah.
Pardon me, I might be wrong on this. Was Raheem Mostert the Ball State professor from earlier on?
No. That was, you're getting confused again.
Okay, clearly. And who are you picking for first touchdown?
I picked Travis Kelce.
Okay, what are we betting on this?
That's a good question. And so we're going to do as a total, correct? Whoever gets the most
whoever
correct.
Has the most correct.
Wait, you want to throw 100 on there?
I'll do 100.
All right, we'll do 100. Boom.
How does this one sound? How does this one sound? Because I want to be better people. I want people to admire us.
All right.
The winner of the wager picks the charity that gets the $100 donation.
All right, that works. Boom, done and done. $100 to charity.
All right, I like that. This way, you know, we're not profiting off of each other.
Right.
Because I don't want to take your money.
I understand. I don't want to take your money either. I want to leave
but maybe this place. Maybe we could. This could go towards the Australian wildlife.
That would be a good one. Austrian, but or maybe Puerto Rico. You know, they're still maybe Flint, Michigan for water. You don't know. We'll look into it. All right.
I like it.
Listen, I don't want to kind of beat the whole Kobe Bryant story to death.
Well, there's so much to talk about.
There is, and I feel like kind of your point has been it's been kind of talked to death. But I guess for me to say to you, like, we're seeing a lot of like athletes and other famous people reconciling because of this tragedy with Kobe and his daughter and the other people that were lost in the crash. Having seen this, is there anyone that you would like to make amends with, Brian?
Not particularly.
No.
I'd like to think that I live a life of truth, that I'm honest about my feelings and whatnot. I'd like to think that I'm a fairly easygoing person and that there are, that I get along with most. I don't believe that there's, I certainly don't feel that I owe any apologies to anyone. Certainly if there's others out there that would like to apologize to me, I think I would be, I would entertain anything along those lines. But I feel comfortable with where I stand with most people.
All right. Well, I don't want to put you on the spot here, but we do have someone on the phone line here that would like to talk to you.
It's Ryan Seacrest calling.
Ryan, thanks for joining us, Brian. It's your nemesis, Ryan Seacrest, on the phone.
Ron, I cannot believe that you would do this to me.
Well, you know, it's to be honest, it's something that I've been working on behind the scenes for a while now.
We've been talking about it for a little while.
So, Ryan, tell Brian what you told me the other day about how this whole rift between you has made you feel.
It's painful.
Do you mean that, Ryan?
I wouldn't call you and make that up.
Ryan has opened up. He's been vulnerable in front of you. Is there anything you'd like to say to him?
I mean, there were times where I think I may have overreacted. Clearly the episode that took place between, Ryan and myself back in, New Year's Eve at Times Square. I may have been irrational. I may have said some things that were hurtful. I was in an emotional place. At that point in my life, I was going through some very traumatic changes that were affecting how I was going to interact with people. Maybe I didn't take into account the way my words were going to make somebody else feel. That's something that I've put a lot of work into myself. I've spent a lot of time addressing. And Ryan, if there's something that that you feel I've hurt in you, I apologize.
All right, Ryan, what do you say to that?
I accept his apology.
Oh, great. Very good. And do you have anything to say back to Brian?
I forgive you because you're human.
Okay. Brian, do you accept his apology?
I do. Ron, this was something that I've been carrying for probably about a year and a half now. And I wouldn't let it to the surface. It was just something that I buried down. It makes me feel really good to have had this moment with Ryan Seacrest and myself. I'd like to thank you for making it happen. I didn't think that that Ryan and I were ever going to be able to speak positively of each other again. I mean, it was so hateful at a time, and I want to get rid of that. You know, I don't want that in my system anymore. I want to be a beacon of hope, of positivity, PMA. Ryan, I hope that we're on firm ground now.
We're friends.
Oh, well, that's really awesome.
Well, I mean, is it really that awesome? You know, we're at different levels in the entertainment world. It's just it's something that I would just, you know, maybe Ryan, one day you and I can sit down and share a drink with each other and, you know, kind of talk about maybe some ways that we can collaborate moving forward.
Let's quit while we're ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. Well, maybe maybe we could do something else. You know, can we exchange cell numbers and, you know, kind of text each other? That would be great, sweetheart.
Don't call me sweetheart.
All right. I feel like this is getting a little bit off the rails here.
Cut the shit.
Oh, boy. Come on. Let's get it back on track. Ryan, are you all right?
Hell, I'm more famous and it pisses me off and now I'm sweating.
Oh, see, why does he have to go there? Ryan, why did you have to get him going?
I have an idea. Lick
all right.
My sack.
Oh, my God. He just told you to lick his sack.
Goodbye.
You know what? Goodbye to you, Ryan. Oh. Goodbye. Go fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself, Ryan Seacrest. I fucking hate you. You can go. You can lick my sack.
That hurts. I felt that we were so close to finally ending this feud. And now I feel it's even worse than it was before. And Brian, I feel I have to take some of the responsibility for that. I guess maybe some things can't be fixed. Some things
I
they
feel
just
set
get
up.
Broken so badly that nothing can put them back together.
You know what? Next year, I'm watching Steve Harvey in Times Square.
Oh, wow. Well, that clearly crosses a line.
Well, that's where I stand. I can't. What a bad asshole he is.
But you know who we are on good terms with? Our
who?
Good friend Billy Joel, who we saw at Madison Square Garden this past Saturday night. Grabbed it was a very bougie night for us. We went out for a nice steak dinner and then went and grabbed our floor seats at the Garden for the Billy Joel concert. Just top notch, top to bottom.
We started off at Quality Meats in Midtown.
Oh, so good.
It was just delicious. Appetizers off the charts. The steak was delicious. Not only that, but you're having a fine meal when everybody at the table says, "Give us the surf and turf."
That's right. It was a good night for surf and turf. And then the side dishes, the gnocchi with the cheese and that corn creme brulee. One of my favorite dishes anywhere.
Even the appetizers, the crab cake was delicious.
The bacon with the peanut butter and green apple and jalapeno.
And the apples. Oh, shit. That bacon was it was like that thick cut steakhouse bacon. And that is, you know, that's a delicacy in my book. Then we hopped in. You know, first we paid the bill, of course, hopped into a cab, ran over to the Garden where, there is. It's a, you know, having been gone to the Garden since I was a kid, you know, starting off in the 400 seats because that's what we could afford at the time. There is, regardless of the event, there is something special about standing on the floor of the Garden.
Yes.
You know, looking up at the multiple tiers above you. The thing with Billy that I will say as opposed to some other concerts I've been to recently, there was when they announced that Billy Joel sells out the Garden, there was not one empty seat in the arena, and that includes all the seats behind the stage. When the lights went up during the set, you could see each section was just packed with humanity. Not only that, the man still to this day does a quality, just a quality show.
I mean, 70 years old and still rocking, always breaking out the special guests. So it was a bit of a treat to see John Bon Jovi come out and do a couple songs with Billy.
What were the ones he did? I know he did Big Shot and Still Rock and Roll to Me. That was it. But the place erupted, obviously, as New York City does when favored son John Bon Jovi comes out. And, you know, the place was nuts. Really a quality show. You know, and what I liked about it was everybody in the place was in good spirits. Everybody was having fun. There was not a lot of times I go to rock concerts, you know, and, you know, people will bump into each other. People walk in with attitudes. You know, people are looking for problems. And what I liked about this show is everybody there was, you know, in a loving mentality. Everybody, it was just a room of positivity.
You know what? There was a lot of love in the building, a lot of compassion, a lot of just a lot of human contact. And that was great about it. Unfortunately for Billy, one of his homes got broken into over the weekend, his home on Center Island. A burglar broke the garage door, damaged 12 motorcycles, and vandalized an office in the home. I didn't realize that.
That's a shame.
Billy was such a motorcycle freak.
Well, I know that he is a drinking and driving freak. Hopefully, he's not doing that on any of his motorcycles.
But apparently, he has a garage in Oyster Bay called 20th Century Cycles, which builds custom-made retro motorcycles.
He is a very large presence on Long Island, I will say that.
Are you talking of his weight, or is that just...
He's grown a little bit.
He's put on a few pounds.
Not just in terms of stature, but... He's put on. I was very surprised that nobody had him in the death pool this year.
Very true. Very true. Well, anything else for this? I mean, this hour just kind of flew by.
Boy, did it fly by.
Maybe Ryan was upset because he had to hold on the phone for so long because I thought we'd get to him sooner in the podcast. But regardless, I don't think you can excuse his behavior in any way, shape, or form.
Fuck Ryan Seacrest.
There we go.
And fuck you for bringing him on.
All right,
you know?
That's fair.
You know, we had an issue with him. I thought we had moved on. Clearly, I'm still harboring a lot of animosity towards Ryan Seacrest. But the fact that you would blindside me by bringing him on to our podcast without, you know, giving it even just a heads up. Hey, this is, you know, one of the things I have planned. How will you react to it? A little hurt, Ron.
It's a bit of a misstep. I'm not going to argue that.
Yeah.
Well, make sure we'll patch things up. Brian might not be able to patch things up, but Brian and I always do. So we will after this podcast. We'll do that by doing our Patreon episode, exclusive content. Man, I can't talk today. For our Patreon subscribers, go to ronandbrianpodcast.com. Upper right corner, you get the link to Patreon to show how you can become a subscriber, and then also links to all of our social media, so you can go to Facebook and Twitter and vote for This Week in Racism, as well as, you know, maybe we'll give the Drink of a Week poll a shot. Maybe there won't be any foreign interference, maybe there won't be any mechanical issues, maybe we'll get a nice, clean, down-the-middle Drink of the Week poll this week. Hopefully.
Love you, Ivanka.
Anything else this week, Brian?
No, I think another solid week.
Definitely. All right. Well, thank you all for listening. Remember to rate, review, subscribe, and share.